The assignment that we were given is we were going to read through this little book together this past week, individually, on our own. We were going to read through the book of Galatians, and then I was going to come and fix our eyes on Jesus as he is revealed in this short little book, the short little epistle. That made for an easy assignment, which I trust you benefited from. I trust you spent the week and spent some time reading the book of Galatians. It's only 5 or 6 pages long. It's only 6 chapters long. So you could have read a page a day, or maybe you read the book multiple times. The assignment was an easy assignment. It also should have made for some easy preaching. I know where I'm taking you in the biblical text. I'm taking you to this book. I also know what I'm going to do in my time together this morning. I'm going to fix our eyes on Jesus Christ. While I enjoyed the reading and the study, I found the challenge in preaching this morning is in editing. This little book has a lot to say concerning Jesus Christ. And my intention is to fix your eyes on Jesus as he's revealed in this short little book, and there is no way in one message I can communicate to you all this little book reveals to us concerning Jesus Christ. So this morning, by God's grace and keeping with his promise, I'm going to take you into the book of Galatians, as I said I would do. And I hope to fix your eyes on Jesus Christ, as I said I was going to do. But being thoughtful of our time together and considerate of our time, we're going to look at just 3 things in this book that points us to Jesus Christ. And by way of choice, I'm going to look at just the first 3 things that stood out to me in my reading through this book, which means there's a lot we're not going to cover. And undoubtedly, there will be people here this morning, and you've spent some time reading this book this past week and studying it, and you're going to be like, how in the world could you not say this? How in the world could you pass over this truth? Well, that's going to be the case. For example, Galatians 5, chapter 1, it is for freedom that Christ has set you free. Stand firm then, and do not be yoked again in slavery. Tremendous truth, not even going to touch on it other than I just did. Lots of truths. Well, let me turn to the book of Galatians if you're not already there. In chapter 1, we're going to begin there, and I'm going to look at just 3 things, as I said. The first thing that jumped out at me concerning Jesus Christ is found right in the introduction of the letter. Paul is writing to these people. He loves these people. He's planted this church. He's concerned for them. So he is writing this letter. But in verse 3, and if you don't have your Bible, I will put it up on the screen. He says this. He's in his introduction, "Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sin to deliver us from the present evil age, according to the will of God our Father, to whom be the glory forever and ever. Amen." The first truth that stood out to me as I want to fix our eyes on Jesus is this. Jesus gave himself for our sin to deliver us from this present evil age. And my response to that is, blessed deliverance. Jesus, as we said last week, and we've been saying it here most recently, Jesus didn't just save us from our sin at the cross in order to take us to heaven when we die or when he returns. We talked about that some last week, this kind of this bookend Christianity. Jesus did something on the cross 2,000 years ago. I'm trusting that he's paid for my sin and he's taking me to heaven when I die. That's true, but Jesus saved us from the present evil age. Right now, this world that we live in is broken and fallen and sin-cursed and sin-sick and messed up. And we were once a part of it. Sinners like the rest. And Jesus has saved us from our sin. He is making us citizens of heaven. He is taking us to heaven. But Jesus gave himself for our sin to deliver us from our sin right now, today. That's really good news. Oh man, that's good news. I understand the presence of sin and the power of sin. It will all be removed when Jesus returns and we're with God in glory. And the ugly, evil effects of sin will be no more. No more death, disease, turmoil, destruction. I understand the presence of sin, the power of sin will be removed when Jesus comes back, but our slavery to sin has ended today through our union with Jesus Christ by faith. In other words, this is really good news, and we need to say this to one another all the time. I don't have to sin anymore. I'm free from its mastery and its power and authority and control. I don't have to sin anymore. Pride, vanity, envy, pusillanimity. We studied that last week. Excessive shyness because I want to protect my image. Pride, envy, vanity, pusillanimity, lust, anger, greed, immorality. I don't have to live that way anymore. I used to have to live that way. Because I once was a slave to sin. I had no choice. I was under its mastery, under its influence, under its control. I have been joined to Jesus by faith. Jesus made an end of sin at the cross. He died there. He rose again to new life. I have been joined to Jesus. His death become my death. His resurrection has become my resurrection. I've been raised to new life. I don't have to sin anymore. Blessed deliverance. I'm free. Titus 2:11. We've looked at Galatians 1:3, but Titus 2:11 says something very similar. For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. Good news. Jesus Christ has come. He's become a part of this human race, and he died for sin on the cross and rose again to new life. And the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. That grace teaches us. What does that grace teach you? Teaching us that denying ungodliness and sinful passions, we should live soberly, righteously, godly in this present age. I have been delivered from sin now. I no longer have to sin any longer. Grace teaches me to pursue soberness, righteousness, and godly living today. My disappointment with my sin today and my desires to be godly today, that's grace to me. Doesn't come from me. Comes from God. And I'm so thankful for it. Here's an implication of the truth that we're considering this morning. If Jesus gave himself to rescue me from this present evil age, then I'm not just looking forward to my perfection someday. I'm aiming for perfection right now. That's the implication of that truth. In Jesus Christ, I've been made perfect, seated in Christ. I'm seated with him in the heavenly realms. Positionally, I am perfect right now, but you all know really well I'm not practically perfect. But I'm going to be perfect. And the work that Jesus began, he will carry it on to completion. And because I'm going to be perfect, and because I have been rescued by Jesus from this present evil age, my aim is for perfection today, right now. Now, as soon as you start saying, you know, you're aiming for perfection, as soon as you start saying that, people are inclined to say, Pastor Mark, you'll never be perfect. We know you so well, you got a long way to go, and you're not. And people do that. If you say, man, I'm aiming for perfection today. I've been delivered from sin and set free, and I'm aiming for perfection. People come along and say, don't aim for perfection. You're never going to be perfect. That's only going to discourage you. You'll be defeated. You'll be wiped out. You're not going to make it. So perfection's the wrong target. Perfection's the wrong goal. Just aim for good. Now, the truth of the gospel is, one day, I will be perfect. I'll be perfect. By God's grace, through resurrection power, in step with the Spirit, I will see Jesus and I will be perfect. Jesus has made me perfect and he's making me perfect. One day I will experience the perfection that Jesus has secured for me at the cross and in his resurrection. I will not be disappointed. I will one day be perfect. And because perfection is where I'm heading, and perfection is where Jesus is taking me, I'm making perfection my aim right now. Wow. Vince Lombardi. Some of you remember the old coach. He said this, if you aim for perfection, you'll at least hit excellence. Well, I'm aiming for perfection, and one day I'm going to hit it. Not by my strength, not by my resolves, not by my discipline, but because of Jesus Christ. He purchased my perfection at the cross in his own body. And he is making me perfect as I follow him by faith today. And he will complete that work. And when I see Jesus, I will be like Jesus and I will be perfect. Aren't you looking forward to that? Because that's the aim. Because that's the end, that's also my aim, is what I want to say. Now, I have to admit, and you already know this, you're not going to be surprised, I'm like an amateur marksman. I'm aiming for perfection, but I'm like an amateur marksman. In the first service, we didn't get a big response to this. I said, you know, have any of you taught a little boy how to shoot a rifle? And I had, you know, how many of you have taught a little boy to shoot a rifle? And about two hands went up. I thought, what a bummer. Oh, two again. Anybody taught a young man to shoot a rifle? A few of us. When you teach a little boy to shoot a rifle, how does it go right out the chute? First time he's got that rifle in his hands, what is he doing? He's like, whoa, right? And he's shooting the target, or you hope he's hitting the target, but he's shooting kind of all over the map, right? Yeah, right. I'm like an amateur marksman. My aim is for perfection. I don't hit the bullseye as often as I would like. Unbelief and temptation still a problem for me as I pursue perfection. I'm not hitting the bullseye as often as I would like, but that's okay because I'm not banking on my record. Jesus nailed it. Hit the bullseye, perfect, 100%, and by faith in Jesus, I've been credited with his record. So I'm not banking on my record, I'm banking on his record. Jesus is my righteousness. And by faith in Jesus, I've been joined to Jesus, I've been given his record, I don't have to worry about it anymore, but that doesn't make me want to put the gun down and give it up. No, that just frees me up to practice all day long. Because I will be perfect like Jesus, I'm aiming to be like Jesus, I don't have to worry and be fearful that I'm going to wreck up my record because I've got a perfect record. Because I have that grace, I'm pursuing perfection today. You with me? Oh, and that's good news, folks. It's good news. Jesus gave himself for our sin to deliver us from this present evil age. Perfection is now my aim. We used to sing it in an old song. We don't sing it anymore. It goes like this. Oh, to be like thee. Remember that song? Oh, to be like thee, blessed Redeemer. This is my constant longing and prayer. I'm aiming for perfection. Jesus purchased it. He's going to complete it because that's the end, that's my goal, that's my aim. Gladly I'll forfeit all of earth's treasures. Jesus, thy perfect likeness to wear today. Oh, to be like thee, full of compassion, loving, forgiving, tender and kind, helping the helpless, cheering the fainting, seeking the wandering sinner to find. Oh, to be like thee, while I am pleading, pour out thy spirit, fill with thy love. Make me a temple meet for thy dwelling. Fit me for life and heaven above. Oh, to be like thee, oh, to be like thee, blessed Redeemer, pure as thou art. Come in thy sweetness, come in thy fullness. Stamp thine own image deep on my heart. Isn't that a good word? Because Jesus gave himself for our sin to deliver us from this present evil age, I'm free, I don't have to sin anymore, and I can pursue and aim for perfection because that's the end in which he has secured for me. Second truth, that's truth number one. Second number truth, if you got your Bible open, look at Galatians chapter 1, verse 10. Paul is writing these Galatians people. He is surprised that they're turning from God and turning from the gospel. But at the end of that, in verse 10, he says this, "For am I now seeking the approval of man or of God? Or am I trying to please man? If I were still trying to please man, I would not be a servant of Christ." You might be thinking, well, how does this fix our eyes on Jesus? Paul is saying, I'm not seeking the approval of man. I'm not seeking your approval. I'm seeking Christ's approval. This is the truth as I put it down. Jesus gave himself for our sin to deliver us from slavery to everyone but himself. In essence, Paul is saying to these Galatians, I'm not serving you. I'm serving Jesus. And in serving Jesus, this is what I have to tell you. And he calls them names. Who has bewitched you? Who has demonized you? I'm astonished that you guys are turning to another gospel because he can say these things because he's serving Christ and not them. The truth, Jesus gave himself for our sin to deliver us from slavery to everyone but himself. Jesus has not only rescued me from this present evil age, he has also rescued me from the slavery of 10,000 would-be masters who would desire to rule over me. Paul would say, now that I've been set free from sin, In this present evil age, by the grace of God, I have also become a servant of Jesus Christ. And I would say, blessed simplicity. By the grace of God, not only have I been saved from the present evil age, but I have been saved to serve Christ and Christ alone. One master. Blessed simplicity. One master who is also my Savior, and my friend, and my Redeemer, and my Lord, and my lover, and my King. The grace of God that brought me salvation, the grace of God that teaches me to live soberly, righteously, godly in the present age, by that same grace, I have become a servant of Jesus. The word is doulos in the Greek. It means bondservant, bondslave. I am in bondage to Jesus. And that's exactly what the world says. Yeah, look, all those Christians, you're in slavery. Amen. I'm in bondage. I'm a bond slave of Jesus. And because of who he is, being a servant is a wonderful thing. It is blessed simplicity. I have one master to serve, and it's Jesus Christ. And that's great because he is great. He's a glorious and wonderful master. He knows what he's doing. He tells us the truth. He leads us in ways that are right and best. He is absolutely remarkable. There is no one better to serve. When I become a bondslave of Jesus Christ, it's an easy yoke. Because if I'm yoked with Jesus, Jesus is carrying the load. The yoke only becomes difficult as a bondslave of Jesus when I'm pressing against it or resisting it. But being a slave of Jesus is a million times better than any other position you could ever fathom. We're talking about Jesus here. The one who speaks and galaxies comes into his existence. The one who kills death with his own resurrection. The one who has redeemed you at great cost to himself. To be a servant of Jesus, I wrote in my notes, I'm a glad, happy servant of Jesus. For now by grace, he's the only one I need to please. Think about that freedom, folks. I no longer have 10,000 masters on some mysterious rotating schedule that I have to balance and please and accommodate. I just have one master, and he doesn't change. And he is wonderful. I can ask you this morning a practical question in light of this truth. How many masters do you have? I can ask that another way. How many people are you seeking to please? I can ask that another way. How much stress are you under? Blessed simplicity. Paul could say, because of the grace of God, I'm a servant of Christ, one master. So how many masters do you have? How many people are you seeking to please? Have you experienced the blessed simplicity I'm talking about this morning? Some of you are thinking this is really impractical. I have countless people I need to please. I'm married, that's one. I have kids, that's four. I have my spouse, my kids, my parents, my boss, my neighbor, my friend, myself. I have countless number of people that I need to please. I have many, many masters. What is this one master business? What is this blessed simplicity? Let me give you a couple things to consider in light of that truth. I hope you experience this, having one master. By the grace of God, serve only Christ. Let me give you some thoughts this way. Several years ago, I wrote down on a list of a yellow legal pad and a blue pen, because that's what I always use. Put out my yellow legal pad, my blue pen, and on the left-hand column, I wrote down all of the relationships that we're in that we carry some responsibility toward. We're all in relationships. We carry some responsibility toward those relationships, so I put them all down. I won't give all of them to you, but for example, I put down husband, father, brother, son, uncle, cousin, nephew, neighbor, friend, coworker, employee, board member, student. I had a whole list that related to me, and the relationships that came out of that related to me that I feel are important that I have responsibilities toward. After I wrote down that entire list, I then looked specifically into the scripture at what Jesus specifically says concerning my responsibilities toward those relationships, because I want to please just Jesus. I want to serve one master, not 10,000 masters. So I wrote down all the lists. I looked into the scripture. I did a Bible study. What does God have to say about my friends? What does God have to say about my parents? What does God have to say about my workplace? What does God have to say about my spouse? What does God have to say? Because I want to serve Jesus. I want to have one master, not 10,000 masters. When I looked at what Jesus said concerning those relationships and my responsibility toward those relationships, I found amazing clarity and freedom. Incredible. Because I want to please Jesus. Let me give you one illustration. I could give you lots of them, but I'll give you one illustration that includes you. As your pastor, I'm not here to serve you. That almost sounds anathema, doesn't it? Sounds heretical. Sounds like you're going to take me out to the post and tar and feather me. But as your pastor, I'm not here to serve you. I'm not here to serve you at all. I have one master to please, and his name is Jesus Christ. In serving that one master, I will serve you well. But if I don't serve Jesus, I will wipe out and you will not be benefited. This really came back to light for me. I remember coming here 16, almost 17 years ago, and I remember consciously thinking when I came here, I'm not coming here to serve these people. I'm here to serve Jesus Christ, one master. This came back to light to me this week because Joey Birkebeen, some of you know Joey Birkebeen, know him well, he grew up here in this church, and he became one of our elder proteges. 3 years ago, he went over to Frankenmuth Bible to become their worship arts pastor. Last Sunday, they voted him in as their senior pastor. And so I got to talk to Joey last Sunday and this week, and I appreciate him greatly. And we're talking, and now this, 30-some-year-old young man with, three kids of his own, married, he's got a responsibility toward this church. And I'm like, there's 300 people there, and if they all have 10 expectations of you, that's like 3,000 expectations. Good luck with that one, buddy. But if you're going to serve Jesus Christ as a pastor, you'll discover there's just a few things that you are really responsible for if you want to please Jesus. Because if you try to serve 300 people in 3,000 different ways, they will not be served, you will not be helped, and God will not be glorified. Now, that's concerning pastors. You, by faith, would need to appropriate that to your life. You're like, man, I've got a boss, I've got a wife, I've got kids, Okay, what is if you're going to serve only Jesus and experience the blessed simplicity of having only one master because of the grace of God, what does that look like for you? Because if you try to accommodate everyone's expectations, good luck with that. But here's good news. If you're going to serve only Jesus, your expectations are very clear and very simple and very straightforward, and you can know them. He has revealed them in His Word, and you want to know what else? This is good news. Jesus supplies what the service requires when you serve just Him. Not only does He make it really clear, but the service that He requires of me, He supplies the wisdom and the resources and everything I need to do the service. Is that like more good news? It's good news to have one master, and it's really good news that that master is Jesus Christ, and it's super good news that that master supplies everything I need by way of wisdom and resources to do the work that He's called me to do. That becomes an easy yoke. And so I say, blessed simplicity. Jesus gave Himself for our sins to deliver us from slavery to everyone else but Himself. One master. It's good news. Trust it's falling on you as good news. I've pushed that point long enough. Let's go on to the last one. Galatians chapter 2, verse 16, and then we're going to look at verse 20. The third and final truth I'm going to share with you this morning. Verse 16, he says, "Yet we know that a person is not justified by works of the law, but through faith in Christ Jesus. So we also have believed in Christ Jesus in order to be justified by faith in Christ and not by works of the law, because by the works of the law no one will be justified." Boy, that verse, he said the same thing three different ways. We are justified, declared right, through faith in Jesus Christ, and not by the works of the law. You can say it frontwards, backwards, middle out, however you want to say it, but that's what he's saying in that verse. Jump over to same chapter down to verse 20 and verse 21. "I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not nullify the grace of God, for if justification, being declared righteous, were through the law, then Christ died for no purpose. The third truth I'll share with you this morning, and we'll close with this truth. Jesus gave himself for our sin to deliver us unto God, counted righteous. And I say blessed acceptance. Blessed deliverance, blessed simplicity, blessed acceptance because of Jesus Christ. This truth, stated another way, Jesus gave himself for our sins to deliver us from fruitless, frustrating, and futile self-salvation projects. We are not saving ourselves. We are not saving ourselves through circumcision, through law-keeping, through religious living, through good decisions, through moral lives. God saves by his grace those who take him at his word. You can read this little book. It says, Abraham believed God, and God counted him righteous. Because Christ paid for Abraham's sin at the cross, paid for your sin at the cross, Abraham believed God. I've believed God. I've been saved by God's grace and not by my religious activity. Blessed acceptance. I'm accepted fully by God because of what Christ has done for me. This is one of the main points of the whole epistle. We are saved unto God through faith in Jesus Christ, not by any effort, activity, or religious practice we perform. God graciously saves all those who believe in Jesus and believe what he has done, is doing, and promises to do. Jesus paid for our sin at the cross. Jesus is saving and sanctifying those who trust in him today. And Jesus is returning someday to receive those who have received him, those whom he is making beautiful. He's coming back. God graciously saves those who take him at his word. And my acceptance is based on Jesus' righteousness and not my own. Well, those are three truths that fix our eyes on Jesus from this little book of Galatians. Let me give them to you in conclusion, put them all up here together. Blessed deliverance because of Jesus Christ. Jesus saved us from this present evil age. I don't have to sin anymore. I still struggle with temptation. I still struggle with unbelief. I'm an amateur marksman, but I have Christ's record and I've been set free. I don't have to sin anymore. That's just really good news. I used to have to. I don't have to anymore. A blessed simplicity. Jesus saved us from slavery to 10,000 masters. I serve only one, and the one I serve is absolutely remarkable. I am a glad, slap-happy slave to be, happy to be a slave of Jesus Christ. Any of the rest of you happy to be a slave of Jesus? Glad to be a servant of Jesus. I don't even serve myself well. You know why I don't serve myself well? I'm always changing my mind. I never know what I want. If my wife changes her mind 10,000 times a day, I change my mind 10,001 times a day. I don't even have the resources to serve myself well. I'm a terrible slave to myself. I'm happy to be in bondage to Jesus Christ. I'm glad that he's purchased, redeemed me to be his slave, to be his servant. It's wonderful. I can't think of a better position to be in. Forever. Blessed simplicity. Finally, blessed acceptance. Jesus saves us unto God through crediting us with his righteousness, not our own. Good news. Let me close with the words of a song we used to sing. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchase of God, born of a spirit, washed in his blood. Perfect submission, perfect delight. Visions of rapture now burst on my sight. Angels descending bring from above echoes of mercy, whispers of love. Perfect submission, all is at rest. I and my Savior am happy and blessed. Blessed, no doubt. Watching and waiting, looking above, filled with his goodness, lost in his love today. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. You look at these truths and you say, Jesus, by his grace, has delivered me from sin to serve him and belong to God in righteousness. That's good news. Let me close in prayer. Heavenly Father, we come before you again this morning. We stand in awe of your grace to us. Undeserving people who have been redeemed and reconciled to yourself through Christ. Incredible grace to us. We thank you for Jesus. What a gift he is. What a treasure he is. We're thankful for the grace of God that brings salvation, has its effect of teaching us, because we've been free from sin, to live good lives right now because of the freedom that we've been given in Christ. Heavenly Father, help our unbelief. Help us to take you at your word, to live in the reality that we don't have to sin anymore. We can now live new lives that are wonderful because of grace to us. We thank you for Jesus. We thank you that he's coming back. He's going to receive those whom he has redeemed and is making beautiful. We look forward to that day. We look forward to the perfection that Christ has secured for us. We thank you for all that you revealed concerning your Son in the Word. Help our unbelief. Help us to live by faith, in victory, and in confidence, and with freedom, without anxiety. We're grateful for all that you've secured for us in Christ, and it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Well, let's stand.